Morning. Today I'm going to read Romans chapters 8, verses 28 to 30. Page 917 in your Pew Bibles. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew and he also predestined to be confirmed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, and those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. This is in the word of God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for that reading. If you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We'll be studying this morning, beginning in verse 28. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for today, for the beauty of the day, just the wonder of your free grace and love that you've shown towards us. And Father, although we often feel the depth of our weakness, we know that you are our strength. And we just pray that you'll especially be with us this morning. Help me to be focused upon the text, but above all, may your Spirit dwell with us and in us, and make your words alive to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the last 20 years, I have made a lot of trips from Vermont to Ohio. And I've kind of got it down like a science. I have found that the easiest way to get there is to go across northern New York. But getting from here to Ohio, I have two places where I usually have problems. One is Buffalo, the other is Cleveland. So I have to leave at exactly the right time in the morning in order to get through them with not a lot of traffic. So I get up, and usually I have about triple the amount of coffee that I normally drink, and off I go. And so one time, about 2.5 years ago, I was buzzing along on Route 11 and somewhere on the other side of Messina when I came upon a crossroad. And there, right in the middle of the crossroad, there was an emergency vehicle parked and a man who was standing outside of it. Now, the man appeared to be very, very agitated. He was waving his arms as though I was going to run him over and run the vehicle over. And so I stopped, of course, and rolled down my window, and he came running over to me, and he said, "You can't go through." And I'm thinking, obviously I can't go through. You're parked in my way. And then he said to me, "Where are you going?" And I said, "I'm going to Ohio." And he shouted at me, "You can't get there from here." And my response was to begin laughing. Of course I can get there from here. And I was thinking about that this morning and throughout this week as I prepared this lesson. Because I was thinking about it in a spiritual sense. I have recently retired. I'm going through a kind of a difficult time. And so if you want to listen in, basically what I'm doing this morning is preaching to myself. Because spiritually, sometimes we feel that way. There are times that doubt arises within us, and we begin to think, we can't make it from here. Let me just give you, first of all, an explanation of the words in the title of the sermon. When I use the word you, I mean every single person here in this church, those listening on the live screen, all who hear my voice, I mean all of us. And when I say the word there, I'm speaking, of course, about ultimate glory, no matter what happens. And I'm speaking about the more abundant life that can be lived in here and now. And then we think about the word here. Here is where we are. And I mean that in a spiritual sense. It's not this physical building, although that is true, but your and my spiritual condition. Do you this morning feel that you are far from God? Let me tell you this morning, you can make it from here. Do you feel this morning that you are struggling with the besetting sin? You can make it from here. Are you discouraged? Are you depressed in life? Let me tell you this morning, you can make it from here. Have you seemed to have lost your sense of purpose and feel that life is just a series of disappointments? Let me tell you, you can make it from here. And I can go on and on and on, but you, I'm sure, get my point. That no matter where you are right now spiritually, no matter what it is that you are dealing with, no matter what struggle you have within your life, you can make it from here. From wherever you are at this exact moment, from this exact moment in your spiritual condition, you can make it from here. I want to break this down into 3 points. That's a good way of preaching, I guess. And I want to talk, first of all, about the eternal purpose of God. I want to talk about the effectual power of God. And I want to end with the extraordinary people of God. The eternal purpose of God. Now, Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28, it tells us that all things work together for good. But he goes on to say some things about what that good really is. In the last part of the 28th verse, he says, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Now, this section of scripture I've just read, and which was read earlier, is what some call the golden chain of salvation. It begins with the eternal purpose of God, and it has a link upon link upon link. Now, I will say, first of all, that it doesn't contain every single link in the God's plan of salvation, but the rest of the links of that golden chain are implied. There are words like predestined and called and justified and glorified, and they're all filled with meaning. Now, although the word saved and the word salvation are not used here, it's exactly what he is dealing with. In the context of these verses, he is dealing with people who are struggling. If you were to read up above, beginning perhaps in verse 19, he begins to talk about those who are groaning inwardly, those who are struggling, those who are aware of their own weakness. And even though he does not use the word salvation, that is exactly what he is talking about, the whole panorama of salvation. Now, I want to say this morning because I really believe that sometimes we have a very, very superficial view of what it means to be saved. Most people, when you say, are you saved? They think immediately, well, yes, I've accepted Christ. I've looked to him. I've accepted Christ and him crucified. I put all my trust in him. Yes, I am saved. But yet the word salvation is a much bigger and broader term than that. The word salvation really, in its very essence, it means to be made well. It means to be healed. It means to be restored. It is used sometimes in a physical sense, but it's also used, of course, in a spiritual sense. And when one is saying that I have been saved, they say there has been something happened within me, and I am in a process of being healed. I am in a process of being restored. I'm in a process of a transformation. There is something happening deep within me. Yes, I've accepted Christ. Christ has taken away my sin. Yes, he has granted unto me the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is the beginning, but it goes on and on throughout life. The believer can say, of course, I have been saved. But they can equally say, I am being saved. And then they can look forward as the verse talks about the glory yet to come. He can say, I will be saved. I have been saved when I came to Christ. I am being saved day by day as I continue to walk in him. And one day in glory, I'll finally be saved beyond all that sin and death has done to this world. We are seeing here the great overview of his saving work. What God is doing in this world, Hebrews 2 verse 11 says, he is bringing many sons to glory. Acts chapter 3 and verse 21, he is saying that there will be the restoration of all things. That really struck me this week. I was reading through the book of Acts. I was reading through the preachers and what kind of sermons they preached. And I came upon that in Acts chapter 3. And Peter preached that Jesus must be received into heaven until when? Until the restoration of all things. That is what God is doing. And in these verses, he begins before the foundation of the world and brings us all the way until when the new heavens and new earth come, all the way unto glory. That's exactly what he is pointing out. But the other point that I will make here, the effectual power of God, because Romans chapter 8 in this section, there is implied something that we do, but really these verses are all about God. They're not really about us in the first sense. It's about us in the sense of what has happened to us, but it is all about God. It's what God is doing. It's God who is working all things together for good. I'll get to that in a minute. But also what he is saying, it is God who has predestined. Now, he has predestined us to become like Christ. Now, don't let that word predestined bother you. Here, what he is saying is that God has predetermined that every single individual who has accepted Jesus Christ will one day be like him. That is predetermined by God. We are talking about what God has predetermined for all believers, and that is one day they will be like him. And then it uses not only the word predestined, but he also uses the word called. Have you heard the call of God? Well, the call of God is the gospel message. It is a message of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It is a message that the God-man took upon himself our sin, died in our stead, rose again, and reigns upon high. And when that message comes, that is God's call, it's not man's call, it's not the call of your friend or your neighbor, it is a call that comes directly from God, and God calls us deep within our hearts, he calls us to faith and to trust and to lean upon Christ and to look to him and to believe that he has taken away all of our sins. God has said before the foundation of the world, I'm going to take a people who have been marred by sin, in a world that's turned upside down, in a world in which everything seems to be all out of joint and all out of place. He said, I'm going to bring to myself a people. He says, I'm going to make those people like Christ. And in order to do that, I'm going to call them and I'm going to justify them. Now, I've stood up here before and I've talked about that word justified, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time this morning on it, but in its simplest sense, it means this, that God takes away all the guilt of your sin. There is no longer any guilt for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Justification means he has taken away all the guilt of your sin. And not only that, he has placed upon you the gift of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then he also says that they're glorified. I think at that word glorified there, it's a wonderful, wonderful word. As it's used here, because he doesn't say they will be glorified. He says it in the same sense he says everything else. They are already in the eternal plan of God. They are already glorified. Now, I know in this wonderful work of salvation, there are things that we must do. I know that we must believe. I know that we must trust him and walk with him and look to him. I know the Bible tells me that I'm not to be conformed to the way the world goes, but I'm to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. But I want you to get in mind this morning, if I make no other point, it's this, that God had a plan. And there's nothing in all the world, not even all the demons in hell, can stop that plan from taking place. If you are a believer, there is nothing whatsoever that can stop that plan from taking place. Not your weakness, not your times of discouragement, not the times of depression, not the times when you're feeling down, you feel as though you cannot go on any longer. Believe me, there is nothing that's going to stop the believer from arriving at that final place of glory. And someone said, well, what about all those things? What about all those weaknesses? What does he say here? He said, God causes, one translation says, God causes all things to work together for good. It doesn't mean that everything is good. It doesn't mean that we go through life not feeling pain. It doesn't mean we all just say, oh, everything is great, because everything is not great all the time. But what it is saying is, in God's eternal plan and purpose to take a people and to save those people and to transform those people and to bring them through struggles and trials and difficulties here on earth, that in the final analysis, bringing them unto glory, that everything will work together by God's sovereign grace, by God's grace within, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that it will all work together for good. It'll all work together for good. I began by telling a story about a trip from here to Ohio. And I have another story I want to tell, and I'm going to say this, that this story, I struggle with whether or not to tell it, but I'm going to tell it anyway because it's true. When I was a teenager, I ran away from home. Now, when I said I ran away from home, I don't mean I just went across town and laid on someone's couch. When I took off from home, my first trip was 1,300 miles from where I lived. And by the time I'd reached the end of my teenage years, I had hitchhiked over 7,000 miles. And I was not a bum. What I would do is I would go to a town and then I would walk around to different construction sites. I would find myself a job and I would go to work. And I would work there for 2 or 3 months. And I could tell you all kinds of weird jobs I did, but I worked for 2 or 3 months and then I would just get up and go on again. And I'd go to another town and I'd repeat it over and over again. Well, one time I was in El Paso, Texas, and I couldn't find work. And I got down to where I didn't even have any folding money. and I had not eaten in 3 days. I had absolutely nothing but the street to lay on. And so I decided one day, there's got to be a better place than this. And so I thought, the Midwest. I'll head back to the Midwest. And so I walked outside of El Paso and I began to hitchhike, and a truck pulls up. It was some Hispanic men, and they offered me a ride. I had to climb in the back of the truck. This is August. The sun is beating down. If you've ever been through El Paso, it's all desert country. And I knew from where I was, it was about 150 miles to White City, New Mexico. I said, if I can get to White City, maybe I can find something. And I was sure that they were going to go to White City. But no. There, after about 30 miles, they just stopped the truck. And I got out, and they turned on a dirt road, and away they went. I didn't know anyone lived out there. I couldn't see anything but sagebrush and sand and cactus. So I'm standing next to the road. Now I'm thirsty. I've been 3 days without food, and now I'm very, very sick. And nobody would pick me up. Nobody would pick me up. And finally it began to get dark, so I got a piece of mesquite and I went out in the desert and I cleared out an area and checked around for rattlesnakes, and I began to dig a trench in the ground. And looking back on that, that trench to me may have very well been my grave. I don't know I'd ever would have been able to rise up the next day, but right when it was getting dark where I couldn't even see, some headlights came down the road, and I went out to the end, and I was waving my thumb, and a young man picked me up in a Volkswagen Rabbit. Some of you remember the Volkswagen Rabbit. And he could see that I was in terrible shape. And he said, is there some place I can take you? And I said, yes, I know some people. I've been through here before. I know some people. They're Native Americans. They live in this shack out here. But if you could just get me there. And he did. He went out of his way and he took me there. And I found nourishment and I found rest before I headed on my way. But that's not the end of the story. Because 4 years later, I was in Texas. And I was in worse shape than I was that time as a young teenager. For this time, I had a house, I had a roof over my head, I had food, I had a child, I had a wife, but I was burdened. I was burdened with sin. I was worn down. I didn't know what else to do. And at that moment, another light came. And it wasn't someone in a Volkswagen Rabbit. It was a light of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, that began to shine in my life. And I'll tell you something right now. That's been 43 years since that happened. And I haven't always been on the right road. I haven't always done everything the way I should. There are times I took a turn. There are times I went backwards. There are times I came up against roadblocks. There are times when I became discouraged in the way. There are times I sat down and forgot to travel on. There are times I gave up, but God would not give up on me. And I stand here today preaching because God is God. Only because God is God. And God will not let one of his people go. And whatever it is you are struggling with, grab hold of that promise that God will cause all things to work together for good. Stand in marvelous amazement at the fact that God has predetermined that you will come like Christ, that God has called you, that God has justified you, that God will glorify you, and there's nothing that can stop it from happening. Oh God, if he's done a work in your heart, he will raise you back up when you feel the lowest in your life. He will enable you to continue on. He will bring great glory and great grace into your life, through your life, into the lives of others. Thank you.